If we ever had to, Americans could easily live off of what they throw away without thinking. And do I ever think about it? Not really. I mean, nothing beyond, hey, kids, eat what's on your plate. All that food waste, and it's big, is just a tiny bit of the edible stuff Americans ignore or toss away each year. 70 million pounds. But Chef Dan Barber looks at that giant waste stream, and he doesn't think waste or garbage or rejects or past dated spoilage. He thinks...
So it's free food, actually. It's free food.
Wow.
Free food. And Dan Barber's reputation is not exactly for giving away free food.
I'm the chef and co-owner of Blue Hill and Blue Hill at Snow Barns.
It's an upscale and wonderful, dare I say, pricey, Michelin-rated restaurant in Sleepy Hollow, New York. And when we visited Stone Barns and Blue Hill's massive kitchen to investigate just what Barber is throwing away and what he's finding as free food these days, we encountered a mystery right off the bat.
So, of course, we had to look in the garbage here at the restaurant. And as you can see, there is nothing, not a bit of food waste, which is very suspicious.
Chef Dan is not just a clean freak. He literally thinks that the American approach to food is like a big, bad, ugly design on the culinary superhighway.
And it's not just that Americans are the Hummer wasteful population that we are.
Ooh, that's terrible.
Yeah.
That's awful.
Yeah.
That's awful.
But
to
it's hard to think. We're the Hummers of the of the food world and our history when it comes to our diets.
And here in this busy kitchen preparing for a mob Friday night, there is chopping and dicing and pureeing and straining.
Spoons furiously serving.
I open a stock pot to find lemonade? Not exactly.
So we're doing corn cob lemonade that is pretty much entirely derived from waste. The best of summer, corn and lemonade.
Yeah, that's brilliant.
That's right. Corn cobs are boiled with lemongrass and thyme, and then it all steeps in dozens of used lemon peels from the bar, and it's a zesty lemonade like you've never tasted. Over here, they're opening a huge can of chickpeas, garbanzo beans. Hey, Dan, you want me to drain the water out there in the sink? No way, he says, and grabs the can away from me and takes it over to a big red mixer.
Give us a second.
Garbanzo meringue. White, fluffy, perfect. Can you imagine how impressed your friends will be? Chef Dan's goal is to get miraculous things like that on the plate. Things that never even get to the refrigerator or grocery store in the first place.
There are peels in the garbage right there. Can we use them?
Old stale rye bread.
You're going to make a chickpea salad.
Right.
Literally hundreds of pounds a day of pickle butts. He called them pickle butts.
Pickle butts.
Pickle butts.
Pickle butts. Who knew? But you can get them by the pickup load anywhere pickles are made. Dan Barber started to work his magic on me, prodding me to try something I would never, ever touch, and then he would watch as I just fell in love with it. Let's just say, when it comes to wasted food, Dan Barber has a lot of heart.
We have no cuisine. I mean, I think that's what it comes down to, our culture. We've never really had a cuisine. There is no American cuisine. We don't have a pattern of eating that soaks up waste. If you go to any other of the great cuisines of the world, any other cultures that have sponsored the great cuisines of those, no such thing. You couldn't do a waste dinner. It wouldn't be there. It would be part of an iconic dish. Coq au vin in France is a rooster. What do we do with roosters in America? It's a very tough rooster. is an older bird, very tough male bird. Well, you can't eat it. It's very extremely tough to cut with a knife. So we throw it into cat food or dog food or fish feed in this country. In France, you braise it in white wine and you make an iconic coq au vin dish that becomes what it means to be French, you know. And that's the trick. That's the challenge for a chef, I think. And for us, for anyone who loves food, is that's what we should be doing, is not talking about waste because it's abhorrent with the hunger and the issues of malnutrition in this country and throughout the world, but because actually it's delicious and we ought to inculcate that, bleed those ideas into the culture and make it part of the everyday eating habits.
Slicing for you two things to try. So, the yellow is a vegetable.
Right, that I got.
Okay.
That I got. All right, so we'll try the yellow thing first. Crispy and sweet. Kind of like a pickle.
Yeah, nice.
Mmm.
We're calling it a pastrami of watermelon rind. So it's
watermelon rind.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
And then you don't want me to tell you what
all
this
right,
is.
All right, and this is the meat thing. All yeah. right, and looks, you know, like meat's got a little pepper on it.
Yeah.
Nice, salty little napkin here. Okay, so horrify me now.
Oh, that's pig heart.
Pig heart?
Yeah. The pig heart has been used in every cuisine in the history of the world. Anyone who serves pig has never wasted the pig heart.
Except for us.
Except for us.
Right.
And it goes into dog food primarily here in this country.
Oh, that's delicious.
It's a delicious cut of meat.
I'm jealous of the dogs.
So this is a potato that's been cooked in compost. But I wanted to show you that this just came out of the oven an hour ago. It's a potato that's baked in compost. This is vegetable compost. I'll crack it open.
Absolutely delicious. Wow.
What you're eating, the green, is clover. Clover is a cover crop.
Right. But it's a nitrogen fixer.
It's a nitrogen fixer. What we discovered by studying the plant in its different stages that when it's at a certain point, which is young, but it still has a beautiful green leaf, it's very delicious. It's like spinach.
Yeah.
So what if we, first of all, started cooking with it? You'd be utilizing food that we never knew existed, actually. And also, we'd be incentivizing the farmer to grow more clover because now it's not a sunk cost. It's an economic return. There's plenty in the field to provide for the soil and also provide for us. We took maybe 20% of the tonnage that's there, and it's unaffected. The nitrogen fixation of soil is totally unaffected. So it's free food, actually. It's free food.
Wow.
Dan Barber is executive chef and co-owner of Blue Hill at Stone Barns, the Michelin-rated farm-to-table restaurant in Sleepy Hollow, New York. Very delicious. Go to thetakeaway.org to see a video of me and Chef Barber and all of the inventive foods made from food waste that I got to sample. So how much food do you waste? Let's find out.
Hi, this is Andy from Louisville, Kentucky. I try to do the best that I can not to throw anything away. I have dogs, cats, gerbils, fish, whatever I can give to them, I give to them, and I feed the possums in my neighborhood. If there were raccoons out there, I'd feed them too. Some days I do better than others. You know how it is.
Hi, this is Jerry Lynn Intricken in Bedford, Texas. We try not to throw any of our food away, but some produce that should have been eaten occasionally does end up straight in our compost. We also forget to eat leftovers in a timely manner sometimes, and that ends up in the trash. To try and prevent this, I make a list on the refrigerator door of perishable food items we need to consume as a reminder to us, and we also try to keep those items near the front of shelves so they're visible.
In Oxford, Mississippi, I throw it to the outside dog, and she is overweight, or feed the neighbors.
Hi, this is Linda Hohola calling from Long Beach Island. We throw away very little food. We compost for our garden, and we have chicken and geese who eat the leftover fish, meat, and pasta.
Hey, John, it's Ted Yossi calling from Freehold, New Jersey. We take great pains to serve only like the most fresh and unprocessed foods we can in our house. So when you buy stuff like that from the market, stuff is just going to go bad. I mean, as well as you plan and as hard as you try and make everything work out, you wind up throwing out a few carrots or a head of lettuce now and again. But I'd rather see my kids eating fresh vegetables and sacrifice some thrown out once in a while than eating out of cans or out of frozen bags of peas and stuff.
Call us with your rejects at 877-8-MY-TAKE or send us a tweet at The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. This is The Takeaway.
Support for The Takeaway comes from the Henry Luce Foundation for increased understanding of East and Southeast Asia. The Takeaway's resilience reporting is supported by the Rockefeller Foundation. For more, go to rockfound.org.
PRI, Public Radio International.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
wherever you get your podcasts.